Hello everyone and welcome to JFG Tonight. Tonight is a chill show, not much happening in the news, and I hear that there is some kind of sports event, the Super Bowl. I'm not watching these things, so I can't really comment, but that seems to be going on today according to the effect of this show on social media. I have no insight about who's playing and what they're playing and how exactly that works, but the Super Bowl is on. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? We, says Sigiram Sengis. What does that mean, we? Welcome to the show. There's already someone who sent a super chat through Entropy. Jack and Mons had sent $20. Thank you so much for supporting the show through super chats. And he says, how many examples are there in which the various subspecies of a particular species of mammal are more genetically similar to each other than the major racial groups of humans? That's a question that has been raised in the subject of the existence of race. And back in the days when we were arguing this, the only person that I know has done this work is Michael Woodley, 2009. And it's cited here by the alternative hypothesis. And he gives examples of other species in which you have a certain amount of genetic variability quantified here by heterozygosity, which is basically the amount of variability, the amount of difference you can expect within the species for given genes or for an average of many genes. And the question being, at a given measure of heterozygosity, are we willing to declare a subspecies in certain other animals? But when we arrive with humans, of course, there is the political taboo and people don't want to declare subspecies in humans. But yes, clearly the answer is there are many examples. I don't think that they've ever been counted because I don't think the subspecies definition has been, I don't think it's being applied fairly across all branches of life. I don't think we have enough insight, we don't have enough scanning of the environment to have well-established means of declaring that a subspecies exists or does not exist. But clearly for big animals, because they are subject to many human observations and because they have colors and physical features that are easily recognizable, it's a very common thing to divide in subspecies. Now, you look at the heterozygosity of humans, they are at 0.776. And in this whole list, you see many examples of other species in which we declare the existence of subspecies. Consider the elk. It's only at 0.395, so two times less variability than you would have in humans. Yet we recognize 7 to 8 subspecies of elks. And in humans, of course, the question remains unanswered because people don't want to engage on this subject. The reality is there is plenty of genetic variability in humans, and a big clusteredness of this variability in the sense that we know exactly where your ancestors come from just looking at your physical features, unless you are very mixed race and unless you are unorthodoxly the result of multiple acts of interracial sex. We will most likely be able to say, well, okay, you're white and you probably come from Europe. And oh, you're Asian, you come from Asia, and you look African, and you come from Africa, or your ancestors came from there. So, yes, it's a matter that is completely politically controlled rather than science guided. And it's amazing how, you know, in the age of trust the science, well, let's trust the science here. Clearly, the amount of variability in humans is big enough to justify the recognition of subspecies. But you will never hear that from the academia because it's a It's a don't touch it subject. That being said, the answer to your question, Jack Edmonds, I don't know of a count because no one has ever done the full count. And it wouldn't be a reliable count because we just don't have population genetics of millions of species. We have population genetics of a handful of species that we know well. No one is going out there to evaluate the full ecological scale of, say, bacteria that live in the jungle. I mean, you'll have sometimes scientists going autistic and doing it for a handful of bacteria, but you won't ever have a full worldwide quantification of all of the instances of a certain species of bacteria or all of the instances of certain species of plants. And so we don't have heterozygosity measures of so many life forms that we could get a sample of the entire world. My guess is if we were to do it seriously, we would find out that in the vast majority of species, a subspecies clade is scientifically informative. It's valuable. Because I expect cluster redness to be present. You know, we often talk of subpopulations also. And it's a field of biology that is quite arbitrary. What is the difference between a subpopulation and a subspecies? Is a subpopulation a subspecies in becoming? There's no solid line here. None of this can be said to be extremely objective. So I would say even when we do it in the animals, like leopards, wolves, jaguars, wolverines, it's all extremely subjective. If we applied an objective standard, most likely that objective standard would force us also to recognize humans as subspecies. Snowjohn says, can't all dogs breed? That's what they will say in biology classes. That's what people believe. But I don't think all dogs can breed. I think you're going to have some serious genetic incompatibility. And what does it mean to breed? What does it mean to be able to breed if they don't do it? If they don't do it, you don't know. And my guess is there's going to be some genetic incompatibility and even physical incompatibility. It's like if a human takes your sperm and your egg and mixes it in vitro, but if you were so small that you would be technically unable to inseminate a female of your own species, like some dogs are very small and some other dogs are very big. If it can't happen that there's a natural act of reproduction happening, can we really call it breeding? Or are we just making stuff up from the lab? And in fact, even in the lab, you might find more than physical dysfunction, you might find genetic incompatibility. So I don't think all dogs can breed. I mean, even in those extremely specialized, you know, when they create a dog breed, they have to go through hoops. There are certain of their dogs that they cannot involve in the reproduction because, you know, the equilibrium of genes must be kept. And even within a breed, you don't have all offspring viable. I have no doubt that if you take an extremely different breed with an extremely different breed, getting them together will not necessarily lead to viable offspring. But again and again, you'll hear in biology classes that, yes, in theory, you can. Well, if in theory, you can just because of the count of chromosomes, and then you do it and the babies die, I don't call this an act of breeding. Chain Reaction says, will you be making short YouTube trailers for your Odyssey shows at some point so people move here? No, I think that most people have moved and I don't have interest in doing this. Anyways, YouTube will ban that kind of stuff increasingly. They have a rule against sending people to another website, and they will call it spam. Now, this rule rarely gets applied, which is why people who are uninformed often tell me, Jeff, you can do it. I've seen this guy do it. It's like, no, you don't know the amount of special censorship that will be deployed against me. You don't understand exactly what's going on here. It's not because someone else can do it that I can do it. YouTube has applied a double standard to creators like me, and it's not going away. So I don't care if you're stuck in YouTube and you can't realize that I published a video 1 month ago announcing that I was coming here, then maybe you're due for going to another creator. We're going to save who we can save, and we're going to move forward and develop a new platform here in Odyssey. By the way, tonight is Ask Me Anything, so feel free to send your super chats through Entropy or use the support function on Odyssey to send a hyper chat. The survey question on Entropy tonight is, did you watch the Super Bowl? I didn't. And you can also appear on the show if you would like to call in. For this, join the Discord server and then join the waiting room. The Discord server link is right below the video in the description. You join the waiting room, and when I see you, I will slide you in and you can speak to us. If you do decide to call in, though, make sure you have headphones, make sure they are configured to work on Discord, and you have your microphone set up so that we can hear you on Discord, because half of the people who try calling, they haven't set up their audio, so I can't hear them, or there's problems of that kind. Moderna CEO Stefan Bensel deletes Twitter account, sells tens of thousands of millions of dollars in stock. Moderna's CEO Stefan Bensel deleted his Twitter account this week after he sold tens of millions of dollars in stocks, according to reports. The strange action by the big pharma CEO has left investors worried and confused, as no official statement from the company has been made yet clarifying the incident. Oh yeah, well, the people who are involved in this whole COVID overtake of the world are about to cash out and disappear. I mean, what else could you want? You have your hundreds of millions of dollars. You have your stocks, which have risen to incredible value because people have founded belief that you would use the force of the state to promote your product, which you did. You forced people to get vaccinated to keep their job. You are holding a part of the human population under extortion and medical kidnapping, and you made a business out of it. How better can that be, really? So it's like they've reached their peak. They're going to sell their stocks, and things will return to normal. And hopefully, once the whole Pfizer and Moderna... how could you call it? Ponzi scheme. It's a Ponzi scheme that has complex inputs, but it's a Ponzi scheme. This kind of formed belief that, oh my God, these companies now have developed the power to use the strength of the state against their population and force their product onto people. We've reached the peak of it, so they will run away. They will try to flee, and they will most likely succeed. And people were asking me, Jeff, will people be held accountable? The answer is no. Carnival says, Moderna CEO be like, no refunds. Exactly. I mean, they already have actually all the contracts, and people have already signed all these waivers, and the countries that distribute the vaccine have signed these ridiculous contracts where they give up any right to complain about the product. you would do this with lawnmowers, it would be criminal. But we're doing it with stuff that we inject in people's vein, in people's muscle. It's amazing that they pulled it off. But now that they pulled it off, I don't expect them to stay around. I don't expect them to respond to public accountability. I don't expect them to be on Twitter. The people who are the architect of this big fraud that the vaccine industry has become. It's so sad what has been happening with our countries. People were asking me, Jeff, did you watch the Louis Theroux documentary? I am late, so maybe already discuss. No, no, the show has been going on for only 15 minutes. Yes, I did watch on Baked Alaska's stream. There was a, he was playing the documentary, so I watched a part of it, a big segment of it. What is there to say about this documentary? It's all been done before, you know. There's nothing spectacular here. A journalist goes into the culture of streaming and of I guess in this in this documentary the target was America First streamers. So there was Baked Alaska and there was Nick Fuentes in the documentary. So a mainstream journalist goes into this culture and starts claiming, oh yeah, you're white nationalist. And Louis Theroux has a history of going to see prisoners and actual neo-Nazi groups. And you see him just try to do the same thing that he's, you know, is stuff that he always does, which is, oh my God, these beliefs are shocking. Let me put them on camera here while I question these beliefs. And here, let me do my little uncomfortable smile and eyes. What are we hearing here? Hate. But the thing is, you're dealing basically with clowns here. And Louis Theroux kind of had a problem of gear shifting in his documentary. It's like, it's very easy, Louis Theroux's job, if he goes in a prison specialized in imprisoning neo-Nazi murderers. Like, it's very easy to just stand at the table with them and be like, oh my God. But if you deal with the America First streamers, and I have my own, you know, I have my own qualms with them, but leaving that aside, if you deal with relatively intelligent people who are, on top of being relatively intelligent, are kind of in the culture of trolling and in the culture of education and in the culture of public speech, it's like you're it's going to be harder. And it was harder for Louis Theroux. He, Firestarter says, where's the documentary? I want to see it. Well, the only place I found it was that it was playing live on Cozy.tv on Baked Alaska's stream. So I don't know. Maybe there will be a downloadable version somewhere eventually. But for now, that's where it is. That's where I saw it. So he goes in and he tries, okay, look, you're a white nationalist. And they, you know, they answer the usual, which is to turn around the question and to say, well, why are you obsessed about this? What's the problem with white nations existing? That kind of talking points. And you have Baked Alaska, who is the usual clown that he is, you know. At some point, he invites Louis Theroux in his house, which seems to be a completely empty house that he has set up merely for inviting Louis Theroux. It doesn't seem to be where he actually lives. And so he's playing clips of himself rapping on the TV, and he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's terrible music, as you would expect from Baked Alaska. And he's like, yeah, that's good, yeah. And it's that. It's not a terrible documentary, but it's not terribly smart either, because I don't think Louis Theroux understands the culture of live streaming. I don't think he understands the points that the right has been making in 2016. I don't think he is willing to let his mind test his own double standards in his mind. And for an edgy guy like this, who went everywhere in America to find the weirdest that he could. So Firestarter found the documentary on YouTube. Very nice. So here we have the link. Firestarter has put it in the description. So he doesn't quite succeed at capturing what is this culture about. And like, could you ask yourself, Louis Theroux, Is it possible, like white nationalism, for example? Ask yourself, Louis Theroux, if someone was to tell you, hey, I think that Israel is a Jewish nation, would you take issue with this? Would you go with your little bizarre look and make a documentary about the person? Oh, sir, you believe that Israel should be a Jewish nation? But what about the Africans? What about the Asians? Like, please tell us more about these extremely weird beliefs. No, you wouldn't do this. And this shows that you have something sick inside of you. Something that we tried curing 6 years ago. I can't believe, because usually I say 4 years ago. And it was in 2016. Now I realize we're in 2022, so it's 6 years ago. 6 years ago, a bunch of streamers got together and said, we're going to try to cure you from double standards that you live with in your head, that you don't even know you live with. And it didn't work. Still, as of today, you're treating them like the curious anthropologists. It's like, oh, let's see the heart of hate. Like, no. We tried educating you and you refused. And the way you refuse, by the way, is the way an entire generation of children right now are revolting against their university professor when they come with the truth, when they deliver the truth to them. And they say, no, that truth is racist, and no, that's an unacceptable belief, as Justin Trudeau phrases it. So you have a whole bunch of people who don't have the cognitive capacity to attain the truth and to self-inspect on their own double standard. And we try fixing this. We tried doing it pretty much for free. In fact, we ruined our lives just for the fun of trying to fix this aspect of society. This aspect of society that makes it such that you, Louis Theroux, will never make a documentary about a Israel first guy living in New York who says, yes, you know, Israel is a Jewish nation. That's it. And instead of this, you see Louis Theroux say, oh, well, you allege that that there are Jews controlling the media. Ask yourself, Louis Theroux, are there facts that have been presented to you that indicate that there is ethnocentricity in certain industries of the US? Ask yourself this question and let's engage on the facts. Stop engaging with, oh, I'm going to smear this guy by re-quoting his belief and saying, you allege that. That's what he said to Nick Fuentes. You know, you allege that. Allegedly, there is Jewish power. It's like, no, if someone had told you, hey, there is a high concentration of white people in a certain profession in the US, would you say, oh, you allege that? Or you allege that there is such a thing as white power? Or you allege that there is such a thing as white supremacy? No, you would say, you know what, you're right. There's more white people in, say, this job, or let's say at the Supreme Court, or in, let's say, if you are in the 70s, I know it's not going to be the case anymore because we will soon have a new black woman justice in the Supreme Court. But go back in the past and in the 70s, and sure, there was an overrepresentation perhaps of white people in the Supreme Court. Why is it that when it comes down to whites, you're able to see it and you're able to acknowledge it? And you wouldn't ever generate a documentary about how bizarre a belief it is to claim that there is such a thing as white domination of certain professions in the US. But if someone says it with Judaism, then you take issue. Then you make your little circus. That's just what it is. And Louis Theroux doesn't capture that properly. It's, you would expect from a guy who basically makes a specialty of being empathic with the weird that he would be empathic enough to generate a sensical documentary. Go away, says Jeff. you should do a review of Louis Theroux, the Ultra Zionist. Yes, I mean, I've seen some. I don't know exactly if this is the one I saw, but I know that Louis Theroux has been covering the Palestinian conflict, for example, and how, and in his documentary, he does mention that, you know, by international law, Palestine is a free state and it's under domination by Israel. So it's not that he's incapable of being sympathetic to the sufferings of the Palestinian, but still, he takes issue with the violence. With white people, Louis Theroux doesn't need violence. He takes issue with the idea that they should be free, that they are entitled to equal protections under the law. That's the problem that Louis Theroux takes. He never takes it with Israel. Of course, he's capable of criticizing Israel. But it takes so much more to get Louis Theroux excited at criticizing Israel. It takes a tank just bombarding a residential house in Palestine. So that's my comment on the America First Theroux documentary. Chain Reaction says, Theroux did go to Israel and showed Jews laughing that Christians come to work for free while banned from many Jew-only places. Yeah, but see, again, that is so much more. See, he has to have actual discrimination to get excited. With white people, Louis Theroux doesn't need actual discrimination. All he needs is a couple of clowns live streaming and saying, hey, you know what? White nations are an interesting place to be. He wouldn't make a documentary about an Israeli citizen that says, you know what? Israel is a great place to be. I'd like to live in Israel. I like the fact that there's people like me in Israel. That wouldn't make a Louis Theroux documentary. Texas, so that's an example of the youth being like Louis Theroux, rejecting facts because they're racist. Texas professor sues university after being punished for saying music theory isn't racist. So the threshold now is, you're going to be excluded from university functions, and students and faculty members will call for you to be fired if you are not saying that music theory is racist. This guy's point was just to say, hey, guys, you know, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, si, do, I see no racism in this. Chopin's piano performance, I see no racism in this. And it's like, oops, you just touched a sensitive chord. He lost his ability to contribute to the university newspaper because that's where he had laid out his arguments, and he has been called to be fired. White Wolf says, music theory is based on frequencies and physics to a large extent. That must mean physics is racist now. Well, it's been. Lappy Top says, I listened to a Stefan Molyneux show yesterday. That was painful to listen to. I would like to hear JF's opinion on it. It's very much relevant to show's topic. Well, tell me, how do I find this show? And is this a long one? Because I can't review live a 1 hour long show. But is this what, a video you want me to search on his BitChute? Stefan Molyneux. Let's see. Stefan Molyneux. I don't know. The last show that he has on BitChute is February 8th. So you're going to have to send me a link. Maybe send me a link. Is my dying dad manipulating me? Stefan has been hit by YouTube censorship. Oh, he's on Odyssey. But is he more frequently publishing on Odyssey? Okay, Lappy Top says, I will post it in just a second. Yeah, if it's a short video, I can review it. But if it's a 1 hour thing, I won't be able to. Carnival sends a link Pfizer drops India vaccine application after regulator seeks local trial. So that's a news from February 5th, Reuters. Pfizer Inc. said on Friday it had withdrawn an application from emergency use authorization of its COVID-19 vaccine in India after failing to meet the drug regulator's demand for a local safety and immunogenicity study. But of course, Pfizer is known not to interact ever with countries that are holding it to the standard that a the standard that a normal company would be held to. So it's been happening again and again. Now they're doing it for India. So not surprising. Stephen Robinson says, JF, is it possible, as in, does the authority exist for Joe Biden to appoint Kamala to the Supreme Court and replace the VP with Hillary? As far as I know, absolutely. As far as I know, I believe you can replace the vice president however you like. I don't know. You know, there's been this theory going around that they would do this. But it's a hard thing to do. First, because Kamala is not super popular, but that was the thinking of the theory. People were saying, since Kamala is not popular, she wouldn't be a good running mate for anyone, even if it's not Joe Biden. She wouldn't be a good candidate for the 2024 election. And so perhaps the best place she can be put is wherever she can do no harm in terms of the political image, in terms of the elections, you know. And perhaps having a legal function in the Supreme Court would be the best place to kind of say, we didn't abandon them. We put her in a very important position, yet pay no price for the fact that people hate her smile and hate her attitude. Yeah. You know, it's like, Kamala. Now you say a funny joke, she's like, and then you're like, Kamala, children dying. It's like, it's not looking good, even for me as an autistic person. You know, I like the social breach here. But even I am like, Kamala, dying children, you can't laugh like this. Okay, so we've received the link from the guy. Oh, I'm waking up your parents. Bro, you're not supposed to watch JFG tonight with your parents sleeping around. You're supposed to have your own home. Find your own home. The video from Lap It Up is, help, my father wants to arrange my marriage. Well, the thing is, I'm not going to listen to a whole Stefan Molyneux show, okay? My father wants to arrange my marriage. It's a 1 hour, 46 minute show. Maybe we can listen to a little short sequence.
All right.
From different ethnicities, races, but when I just spend time mostly my parents, my father, I'd say.
Right, right.
And I would also say that being stuck in depression or addiction or procrastination also just postpones the self-knowledge and makes it so hard to finally break out of this. It really makes it so much harder.
But what is the addiction that you struggle with?
I would say just no drugs, but just I would say just internet or video games. Those two. I don't have any other addictions.
You told her your issues. What do you mean by that? How would you like pretend? I know it's a little freaky. Pretend that I'm her and just give me the synopsis of the kind of stuff you talked about with her.
I would say the struggles with depression and addiction a little. I would say addiction. I told her just my childhood, but not too deep. And because I also told her about the marriage situation with my father and the issue about the tribal conflicts, but not into too much detail. And
What was her background?
I am a bit worried about.
No, don't say anything you're not comfortable. Listen, you set the boundaries here. That's totally fine. We can skip that completely.
Al Said says this guy is pathetic. This arranged marriage is his only chance at reproduction. Clearly. I mean, yeah, I don't want to be evil or anything, but your dad is trying to arrange your marriage, my friend, because you are so undecided, you are so pathetic, and you're so low energy that it's like your father is just trying to poke you to do something. So maybe if you were a little more assertive and a little more clear-minded, it's like your sentences are painful to wait through. You need to be more straightforward in your organization of your brain, and eventually your life will get better from it. But yeah, I'm not going to watch more of this because it's painful and it's a loss of time. Freedom Convoy spreads as new Canada-US border crossing shuts down. So there has been another rise of a different blockade of the U.S. border, this one arising in British Columbia, and they've been successful at closing a passage to the U.S. So what we've seen developing is a very intelligent strategy, and I think it's the right thing to do. You know, given that Justin Trudeau and is the premiers of the different provinces are really aggressively targeting specific bridge blockade and the specific Ottawa blockade, we have started to see a rotational strategy among the truckers, and that is the best thing you can do. Because if you really make a stand and always stand at the same place, you're easier to target. It's like the police will let the crowd fizzle away, and eventually you're going to be down to 30 people, and it's going to be very easy to arrest you. Thankfully, it seems that the trucker convoy people are clever from an organizational perspective, and they've started rotating. So you see some border crossings, some new ones emerge that are blocked, and you see some restoration of traffic in other places. The fact that it's very easy to reenact the blockade down the line in many days. So I find this a particularly clever strategy given the oppression that is targeted toward the truckers, where if you rotate, you're not going to be the subject of a politically motivated removal and arrest. It's like you can reappear 1 week later in some other bridge, perhaps. So White Wolf says, I read Ottawa politicians wanted to start negotiations. This will know only if they resolve and if the negotiations come out with a positive outcome. It's very probable that Justin Trudeau will not want to be making it look like he does negotiate. Ultimate Truth says, the fact that the trucker protest movement is being led by a gay Jew is somewhat troubling. I don't know. I don't know if that has to worry people. In the end, I estimate that the value of a movement lies in its production and what it can produce. And here we have kind of a successful protest, certainly in the public image directory, and potentially even something that will succeed at undermining the ability of politicians to enact these vax mandates. And perhaps the politicians will step back. Now, I've never told you guys to fully abandon yourself to this protest, don't take risks, and I didn't even call on you guys to send donations to them. But the fact is, the world is better with this protest than without. So from there, I'm going to take what's given to me, you know. I'd rather see the resistance against the vaccine mandate that we see here, even if it's led by people who may disavow us or who may have totally different political beliefs. Let it be. It's not like there's a cost to us for this protest to happen. It's essentially other people fighting for our liberties and at the cost of their own lives. So it's not like I'm going to be punished if, I don't know, if Trudeau enacts a rule that, you know, as Owen Benjamin calls it, the gay sauna party of Ottawa becomes illegal. I'm not going to be paying the cost of this. So if see it that way, worst case scenario, let's say that you don't really care about this guy. See it as, okay, two of your enemies are bumping head together. One possibility of the outcome is that your two enemies will exhaust themselves. Your two enemies might very well die. See yourself as the male deer that's looking at two other male deers that are bumping head to win the female. You might very well be the one who ends with the girl if the both of them ends up killing each other. That's how you can see it in a positive light. I see that Owen Benjamin has been calling fake on this protest on the basis that they've been playing rave music in Ottawa and that it's essentially a LGBT party that has been enacted by the truckers in Ottawa. It's like, yeah, let them have this party. I don't see why we shouldn't be happy, even if we saw this movement as totally foreign to us. I don't see how we wouldn't be happy that there is internal dissent and internal fighting in the left, where some people in the left are hurting the left and are fighting against other leftists and exhausting them and demonstrating their double standard. Nicolas Petris says, this is probably the greatest political uprising I've seen. I love our based brothers and sisters. Yes, it's beautiful to see. You know, it also shows us going forward, whether you like the vaccine mandate or not, or this particular question, clearly a set of useful strategies have been deployed here with some amount of leverage. We'll see if that's enough. We'll see if they will get crushed. Maybe they will get crushed, but there's no cost at observing, pulling out the popcorn, and just watch what happens. Steven says, Jeff, are the organizers of the truckers clever, or are we witnessing the nature of decentralization? I don't know. Is it a kind of anonymous type decentralized movement, or are they being coached by the leaders? I don't know. Because that would be secret coaching anyway. So I don't have particular inside access to their organizational structure. White Wolf says, city brokers deal for trucks to leave Ottawa's residential neighborhood. Mayor says he's willing to meet with protest organizers once trucks are moved. I mean, if you give up more and more grounds like this, it's certainly not a good news, because what I see, if that news is correct, what I see is an abandonment of leverage without any concession on the side of Trudeau. So I don't know. Go Away says, have you reviewed this video of a psychotic woman attacking freedom protesters with her car in Australia?
What are you doing?
You fucking bogan slut. Get the fuck out of Canberra. Go get a job and find something.
So Canberra, that's in Australia, right? Yeah, that's what Gore was saying.
Better to do with
what have you done?
What have you done?
So she's a kind of, I've seen this video earlier today. She's kind of a middle class or relatively rich woman, in these comfortable residential neighborhoods and complaining that some freedom protesters are on the street. And she's like, you're not from here. Get out of here. It ends very funny, okay? So I know it sucks to go through the whole thing, but how it ends is quite hilarious.
And your license.
Honey, you just reversed into me. I have a f***ing sorry.
So I think she's lying there. You just reversed into me. It looks like she was psychotic enough to be the one who caused this. And then the other girl started recording with her video. As soon as she bumped into her, not she didn't bump in reverse. It doesn't seem like this car was had any reason to reverse into this other car.
We're at a traffic light,
yeah, and you can say whatever you want, maybe you can put whatever you want, sweetheart. The media doesn't care about you.
I'm not talking to the media.
So it seems that she's the one with qualms and with reproaches. So she's probably the one who psychotically wanted to bump onto her. And this is the beauty of the end here.
Oh, what's that? What are you looking for?
Don't you worry.
What are you looking for? Oh, did you see that?
So some kind of hit has been given or something has been thrown, I don't know.
A maniac!
Because there are a lot of us.
Good. Yeah. Oh! I'm so sorry, Emma. I'm so sorry. You f***ing idiot. You are.
Well, that is some aggressive driving right here, no doubt. So her car is now stuck with her wheels in the air. How do you create this effect? How do you do this? Even if you wanted to do it, it's like people are like, what was that? It's actually hard to believe that the physics are working here. But let's replay it. And the girl says, I'm sorry, because it's probably not the car of the girl that's filming. So she's like, oh, shit, my friend, your car just has been broken because of me. But so maybe there will be some damage to the car. But on the other hand, this girl seems to have committed a crime. As far as I'm concerned, that kind of behavior is physical aggression and destruction of property. We'll see what happens with her. I had seen this earlier today. They say that police may lay charges, so it's not clear. One news item I had totally missed is that Facebook made a mea culpa on hydroxychloroquine. So it's very often, it's weird because ivermectin has become the new frontier of the fight for those of medical who support medical liberty, but hydroxychloroquine has kind of been dropped under the bus because there has been some negative study coming out and it was kind of abandoned to the interest of ivermectin. But the oversight board, that is the kind of external organization supervising Facebook censorship, has been criticizing Facebook and overturning their bans related, one ban related to hydroxychloroquine. So a user had posted a video and accompanying text in French in a public Facebook group related to COVID-19. The post alleged a scandal at the Agence Nationale de Sécurité du Médicament, the French agency responsible for regulating health products, which refused to authorize hydroxychloroquine combined with azithromycin for use against COVID-19, but authorized and promoted remdesivir. The user criticized the lack of a health strategy in France and stated that Didier Raoult's cure is being used elsewhere to save lives. The user's post also questioned what society had to lose by allowing doctors to prescribe in an emergency a harmless drug when the first symptoms of COVID-19 appear. So the Oversight Committee concluded that in the context of France, it's people cannot have access to hydroxychloroquine without a medical prescription. So it's not like they're going to go and poison themselves with it. So the Oversight Board said, in the context of talking about studies and about public decisions, the user was mostly doing a political critique of the agency's decision. He was not appealing for people to self-inject hydroxychloroquine, and so there was no reason to ban the guy. They also criticized the fact that Facebook standards are too vague, that at different places of their website, it seems there may be contradictory statements. We have been complaining against this for years. Now we have a case of a guy who... The problem with this oversight, like, I would like to found such hope in this oversight committee that they will eventually free social media from censorship. But the problem is, this is from October 2020, not 2021. October 2020. So the effect of Facebook censorship has had plenty of time to eradicate dissent, to suppress speech through, among other things, a kind of chilling effect of speech. And it's been effective for now more than 2 years. Well, oh my God. Okay, so the person who sent me this didn't mention, but this is actually from 1 year ago. So the decision has been taken 1 year ago. But all that being said, it's still many months after the October 2020 date. So we still have a very delayed reaction of this organization. And on top of it, I didn't see Facebook censorship improve since then. We're now 1 year later. You can't talk about ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine on Facebook. So I don't know, this oversight committee, this independent oversight committee, doesn't seem to have the positive effect that you would expect it to have. Adele accused of transphobia for saying she loves being a woman. I've already covered that news item, but I wanted to come back to it to say it's interesting how, if you say I love being a woman, you would be transphobic. And the fact is that if you push the leftist logic, this is correct. Loving being a woman, if I say I love being white, for example, the leftists will point to me as a white supremacist. But the thing is, from the perspective of the trans LGBT activist, if someone loves being a woman, she is using a privilege of nature. It's like, what about those people who didn't get the chance to be born as women? What about those people who had to suffer to be women? So I find this ridiculous. However, I would like to mention that it's totally consistent with leftist logic, because that's what they've been saying to white people claiming that they love being white for many years now. What else do we have? In surreal plot twist, Ukraine's president demands proof from US over alarmist Russian invasion claims. I love that Ukraine is going full fact-checked on Joe Biden. It's like, can you show us evidence? You say that Russia will invade us any day now. I love how chill they are. We cannot perfectly predict the day, but we have now been saying for some time that we are in the window and an invasion could begin, a major military action could begin by Russia in Ukraine any day now. That includes this coming week before the end of the Olympics. Nick Schifrin says the U.S. expects the invasion to begin next week. Six U.S. and Western officials tell me U.S. officials anticipate a horrific bloody campaign that begins with 2 days of aerial bombardment and electronic warfare, followed by an invasion with the possible goal of regime change. And meanwhile, Ukraine is like, we'd like to see more evidence of this. We're not convinced. I don't know who to believe. Zelensky, meanwhile, invites Biden to Ukraine in coming days in pushback against imminent invasion fear. During their Sunday phone call, Ukraine's President Zelensky asked Biden to visit Kiev in person amid continuing White House claims that a Russian invasion is set to happen any day now. Saying that major Ukrainian cities are under safe protection, Zelensky suggested that a visit of the US president in person would stop the spread of panic and prevent escalation. I am convinced that your visit to Kiev in these coming days would be a powerful signal to help stabilize the situation. Look, it's not happening. Dear Zelensky, you're not going to get Joe Biden do this. Joe Biden has been invested in creating a narrative that we have to exit Ukraine. We have to flee. And so certainly it's not in the interest of Joe Biden to be displaying totally the contrary in his own behavior. It's simply not going to happen. Crypto stablecoin boom make dollar push more urgent, Treasury officials say. The rise of cryptocurrencies, one of the biggest financial trends to emerge in years, has raised the stakes for regulators to exert more influence over the sector while protecting investors. We absolutely support an urgent study of CBDC. Okay, well, nothing surprising here. The central controllers of the economy are alarmed that a parallel economy is developing. What else do we have? Something isn't right. 38 lawmakers demand Biden undergo cognitive testing as soon as possible. In a letter signed by 37 of his Republican colleagues in Congress, Texas Representative Dr. Ronnie Jackson warns that President Biden's mental decline and forgetfulness have become more apparent over the past 2 years, and urges the 79-year-old to take a cognitive aptitude test. I'm not a big fan of these of these tests and of people making pressure that presidents pass these tests. In the end, you have to protect the presidency from an overtake by people like Nancy Pelosi, who could very well, if a test was to come out wrong, or they could use this as an argument to take over power. I don't want this to happen. That's even worse than having a slightly flailing president, let me tell you. Because eventually they're going to use this argument to stop a president who's enacting policies that they don't like. Lauren Wicks has published this video of a Ukrainian grandmother, so we can have an idea of the type of resistance that the Ukrainian grandmothers are preparing against Vladimir Putin.
Ну все, Путін, тримайся. Ми переможемо. Путін, тримайся, ми переможемо. Якщо на восьмому десятку я уб'ю. Мені дуже важливо, тому що я вже борюся за Україну з партією «Свобода». І дуже переживаю, в мене дуже велика сім'я, 18 чоловік, 7 онуків, правнук уже. Я хочу залишити Україну своїм нащадкам. Я хочу, щоб була ця земля, щоб вони знали мову, культуру, історію і боролись за неї. І тому, поки вони малі, я хочу сама їх захищати, якщо в нас, бачите, що Путін, якщо піде на нас далі. Я піду в оборону територіальну. Якщо буду вчитися влучно стріляти, якщо не вийде, то буду варити борщ у бліндажу нашим воїнам.
Тобто ви готові допомагати якось?
Як завжди.
All right, so she's ready to help. She is potentially willing to follow courses in firearms and also to prepare sandwiches if she cannot be useful on the firearm front. People are asking if the little child we saw was black. I don't know. I did have this impression, but I think we may be sometimes fooled with light angles. Like, is this child African? Could be. But also it could be totally a mistake given the shadows, and it's very hard to make the call. And you look at the hand of the child and it could be fully white, you know. But the facial feature look African. I don't think that it's a common thing to have African children in the Ukraine. But, you know, who knows? With the cameras in, the village is gathering, who knows? Who knows what kind of story, perhaps an adoption story, could lead a black child to be there. Federal judge blocks key Biden climate change initiative. A Louisiana federal district judge court has halted a key climate initiative from Joe Biden that he implemented shortly after becoming president last year. In a Friday ruling, U.S. District Judge James Kane blocked Biden's January 2021 executive order that factored in the social cost of carbon emissions when creating rules regulating pollution. So basically what he has done is that Trump had dropped the figure of $7 or less per ton for carbon emissions, and Biden increased that to $51. So essentially he's saying there are social costs to carbon release, therefore we will be overcharging to $51 per ton rather than $7 per ton. And this is a way to suppress those states in which there is fuel production. And a judge has said, we take issue with this. It seems to be a punitive measure. It seems to be a wild change. It's like, why just because of a president changing, suddenly carbon would be worth more in terms of its social impact? And does it make sense constitutionally to even talk about social impacts and how certain states that are Republican must pay for the social impact at the federal level and be punished by the win of a Democrat administration? I'm happy that a federal judge has taken that decision, although I'm not sure long-term if that will survive, because the leftists are extremely aggressive at combating a Republican-style business, free enterprise, fuel production, that kind of stuff. And they will go hard. I mean, they went hard with vaccine mandates and that kind of stuff already. They're going to keep going. New York Young Republicans president Gavin Wax permanently suspended by Twitter. We don't even know what would be his wrong thing. I don't have a particular knowledge of who that is, but it seems that he was a voice as part of the America First people, and he was also very enthusiastic about Getter. So Twitter is going down, is shutting down the voices, so much so that we will end up with a total leftist shithole very soon. There won't be a single right-wing voice left there. So just one more step into the tomb for Twitter. The Fed announces closed meeting to be held Monday morning, and this could be our last news item. This is an important meeting because there are talks of the Fed wanting to put inflation under control. And they said it could happen Friday or Monday, and they have an emergency meeting Monday. So it looks like there might be a tightening of the money printing rates, as they call them, as soon as tomorrow. And if that happens, we should expect a crash of the stock market, among other things, and possibly a crash of Bitcoin. I've personally decided to keep my Bitcoin. I'm not interested at selling my Bitcoin below 100k. So whether this happens or not, I will keep my Bitcoin for 3 years if needed. I don't care. I know that it's very rare that the Fed actually hikes rates during a Democrat administration. Apparently, they love crashing the economy when there happens to be a Republican administration. And they said it only happened once in history that they did under a Democrat president. So we'll see what they do here. But it would be a second time in history that they hike a rate faster than announced under a Democrat president. Crucible Clip says, I'm not selling below 100k, not going to. Good man, JFG. Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to wait. I don't need money. I have everything I need to survive. We have reserves of food. We are fully prepared at surviving many years until we get what we want. So that is it for tonight, boys. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for those who have sent questions, although I didn't see anyone join in the audio calls, but it's okay. Sometimes you guys like to send your questions in writing. So thank you so much for being here. And what do we have on the schedule? We have a guest coming Friday. Let's see here. For this week, we will have our Patreon and Subscribestar hangout. This will happen on Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, right after the regular show. And then we have two shows that will be at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Wednesday and Thursday. Actually, there will be no show on Thursday. There will be no show on Thursday, and we will instead be on Modern Day Debate to debate racial policing. Is there evidence of racism in police tactics and strategies? I will be making the case that what seems to explain differential outcomes in whites and blacks with policing in the US appears to be a tendency for aggressivity, tendency to follow the orders, and involvement in criminality in the first place. I have a leftist debating the opposite point of view. And then on Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, we will have Ray Fleming, the physicist, to come talk about his zero-point universe theory. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you.